This hour is sponsored by the Organ and Keyboard Cavalcade magazine, packed with music, features and information for all enthusiasts to enjoy, and the home of Keyboard Cavalcade Hobby Holidays. For more information, visit www.cavalcadeproductions.co.uk or phone 07842 573 913 on Monday and Thursday mornings. This hour is sponsored by the Organ and Keyboard Cavalcade magazine, packed with music, features and information for all enthusiasts to enjoy, and the home of Keyboard Cavalcade Hobby Holidays. For more information, visit www.cavalcadeproductions.co.uk or phone 07842 573 913 on Monday and Thursday mornings.
On air at 99.7 FM and online at oldhamcommunityradio.com, and featuring all that's best from the King of Instruments, this is Community Keyboards with Ian Wolstenholme.
Community Keyboards on air and online, where, as ever, over the next hour, I'll have music from the King of Instruments in all its guises, from pipes and electronics to keyboards and beyond. Now, a few weeks ago, I caught up with a longtime friend and musical colleague, Paul Roberts, who reminded me that it was way back in 1989 when he first appeared on the programme, around the time he was resident organist at the Sandford Park Holiday Centre in Poole in Dorset, alongside the late Brian Sharp. Well, I've been working with Paul to digitise some of his many UK and USA concert appearances, and I hope to let you hear some of those over the coming months. But for now, let's have a couple of contributions from Paul, who currently lives in Hale in Cheshire. First off, here's the three-manual 42-rank Kimball organ in the Dickinson High School in Wilmington, Delaware, followed by Paul at his Technics PR370 piano and a novelty item from the pen of George Botsford entitled Grizzly Bear. Thank you. Let's break the good news and A Pocketful of Dreams on the Dickinson Kimball and Grizzly Bear on the piano from Paul Roberts. Well, as I mentioned, for a decade Paul was resident at the Christie and other instruments in Sandford Park, where the combination of pipes and electronic gadgetry certainly seemed to please the holidaymakers, though, as Brian once told me, divided the organ enthusiasts considerably. Nonetheless, you have to admit it was a distinctive sound. Amour, Amour from Brian Sharp. Now, apart from some of his own recordings, which Paul passed on to me, he very kindly gave me some CDs of artists who, to the best of my knowledge, I've not featured on the programme previously, and we'll have a couple of examples now. The first comes from Australian organist John Atwell, who has had a 40-year career wowing audiences worldwide and did appear at the Troxy in London in 2019. Unfortunately, I was unable to be there on that occasion, nor for an appearance he made at the Stockport Town Hall on the 26th of May 2002, for that matter. I can be specific on that date, as the CD which I now have is signed and dated by John Atwell at that venue. The recording is called Sounds of Wonder from Down Under, and therefore you won't be surprised to know that the organ is the four-manual 25-rank Wurlitzer-based ensemble in the Capri Theatre, Adelaide. Well, let's hear Oxford Street from Eric Coates' London Again Suite with John Atwell.
Thank you.
John Atwell at the Capri Adelaide with Oxford Street. Well, time now to feature the two winners of the recent Keyboard Music Forum Challenge, this time which was to submit a piece of music with a religious theme. Well, on this occasion, Dennis Oyston and Hugh Wallington were victorious, with Just a Closer Walk with Thee on Tyros 4 keyboard, and The Day Thou Gavest, Lord, is Ended, also on Tyros in free play style. Well, let's hear both to take us up to the break.
Is sponsored by the Organ and Keyboard Cavalcade magazine, packed with music, features and information for all enthusiasts to enjoy, and the home of Keyboard Cavalcade Hobby Holidays. For more information, visit www.cavalcadeproductions.co.uk or phone 07842 573 913 on Monday and Thursday mornings.
Featuring all that's best from the King of Instruments on Community Keyboards.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Community Keyboards with the mighty, powerful sound of the Wurlitzer organ in the Paramount Theatre, Oakland, California, and the Motion Picture Herald March from Jim Riggs at the console. Incidentally, that CD is available on eBay, but it will set you back £35.78. Well, now though, we're up to letter K in our A to Z of classic electronic organs, and the two which spring to mind are Kimball and Kawai. So let's remind ourselves of the sound of the Kimball J900 Xanadu home organ as Byron Melcher plays Parade of the Wooden Soldiers, followed by another contribution by Brian Sharp on the groundbreaking Kawai T30, which, under the guise of the DX900 model, found its way into many a home in the 1980s. Thank you. Brian Sharp and Three Times a Lady on Kauai. Well, to take us up to the next break, I'd like to feature a recording we made at the long-demolished Royton Assembly Hall on the 13th of November 1985, when Tony Pegler appeared there on behalf of the then Saddleworth Organ Club. It was my pleasure to be the compere for the concert, and at the end of a great evening of music and mirth from the then Clown Prince of the organ world, Tony offered these words.
Thank you very much indeed. And I know that Andy would like to join with me in saying a big thank you to the man who really did put all this together tonight. I've had the pleasure of knowing him for about the last 2 years, and on your behalf, he works extremely hard. On our behalf, he's worked very hard all day. And he's a lovely guy. Please put your hands together for Mr. Ian Wolstenholm, because he's fantastic. Look at that. He's so stage struck, isn't he? I'll tell you what, he goes down for a glass of milk in the middle of the night, opens the fridge door and does 20 minutes. You know, it's great. Oh, he's fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, just to finish up with, I don't know whether you would agree with me. I think a lot of the nicest tunes are written, oh, in the 30s and the 40s, certainly in the days of the big bands with Tommy Dorsey and Glenn Miller and Ted Heath. Would you agree with that? Would you like us just to finish up with a little bit of big band music? Would you like that? Would you like it even more than that? Would you like it even more than that? Thank you very much indeed. If you want to, listen, I'll tell you, if you want to join in on the second chorus, you know, of any of these songs, because I'm sure you know all the words, if you want to join in on the second chorus, feel free. I'm only going to be playing the one chorus, but if you want to join in on the second chorus, feel free. I've had a great time tonight. Thank you very much indeed. Little motto for you. If you're rich or poor, it's always better to be rich. Thank you very much indeed. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, this was a C700. My name is Tony Pegler. If you haven't enjoyed it, this was a Kauai. I was Brian Sharp. Good night. God bless. And I'll see you one day soon. Thank you very much.
recording I made at Royton Assembly Hall 36 years ago, Tony Pegler there, on Technics C700 in concert. And in answers to the many requests from listeners about whatever happened to Tony Pegler, well, join me after the break to find out.
This hour is sponsored by the Organ and Keyboard Cavalcade magazine, packed with music, features and information for all enthusiasts to enjoy, and the home of Keyboard Cavalcade Hobby Holidays. For more information, visit www.cavalcadeproductions.co.uk or phone 07842 573 913 on Monday and Thursday mornings.
Featuring all that's best from the King of Instruments on Community Keyboards with Ian Wolstenholm.
I Remember You, played by my guest on Technics KN 5000 and 6000 keyboards through a Leslie 145 speaker. And there are many listeners to this programme who certainly do remember the one and only Tony Pegler. Well, actually, there is a guy in Bangor in North Wales with his own DJ business, but you're a bit too old for that, aren't you, Tony?
Now, look, Mr. Wolfman, about this interview, you know, I don't know what the job is. I have very few skills. I can't do brain surgery or plumbing or anything like that. I can do a bit of yogurt knitting and prayer mat weaving, but I don't know what this interview is all about. What's the job and what's the money?
The job is unknown. The money is even less known. So I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, suits me down to the ground.
You feel right at home then, yes.
It's as good. As you can probably tell, I'm, you know, even though I'm 69 now, I still have the mental age of a chrysalis.
69? Never.
Yes,
21 plus VAT,
thank
at
you,
the very
thank
least,
you.
Young man.
Thank you. You're too generous, Mr. Wolstenholm. That's what you are.
It's good to speak to you on the line. You know, Tony, one of those things, we our paths seldom cross these days for, you know, whether the virus is in the way or not, just because of the geographic distance. But we just heard that track. Remind us, when did you produce that album? It must be a few years ago now.
Yes, 1852. I don't know.
That was the price of it, was it?
1852. It's on eBay. Yeah, I think it's about 10 years ago or something like that. I just wanted to do an organ thing. But when my life path went a different way, I thought, I'd like to do a Hammond thing. And I bought a C3.
Right.
A Hammond C3.
Yeah.
With a 122 RV and a PR 40 tone cabinet. When I started, first of all, in the music shop, we were selling, I mean, that was 1966 or thereabouts. We were selling Hammond A100s and C3s and B3s and all that stuff.
But yeah.
I was in no way qualified to play an instrument like that. And it took me quite a long time to realise that. I don't think that I would acquire those skills for many years, which I think is why I enjoyed more the kind of the Lowry thing, because it was a bit more orchestral and I could have a little bit more fun. And to be honest, I didn't have to be quite so good.
Right.
I have such great respect for the guys that were touring around with the Hammonds in those days, you know, George Blackmore, Keith Beckingham, Stanley King, springs to mind.
Yeah.
And Hubert Selby, you know, I mean, they were really, in their style, they were really monster players. And they could handle the instrument very well, but yeah. I really couldn't. And so eventually I decided that I would get this C3 and just kind of learn to play a bit more properly. And that's really, unfortunately, we moved house and I needed to sell my C3, which I love very much.
Mm.
But I still wanted to do a kind of a Hammondy sounding swing sort of album thing. And so I got a 145. I couldn't believe how much a 145 costs now.
Yeah.
I bought a 145 that must have been in the early 70s or something like that. And I remember paying 298 guineas for it.
Wow.
And I think, yes, I know. Yes. Yeah, the invoice was written out with a quill.
Yeah, and a few shekels and groats, yeah.
And when I bought this 145 to do this recording, it cost me nearly £700. I couldn't believe it. You know, a few years before that, you would have found one in the back of the ship because nobody wanted them.
Mm.
And it was the same with the C3. I mean, I bought that for peanuts because nobody wanted them. And so anyway, I managed to rig up these two Technics keyboards that had some nice kind of samples on. And of course, it had some good orchestral sounds. That was it, really. That was the inspiration anyway. So thank you, Keith Beckingham. all those years ago, and some of the American players as well, Ken Griffin and all of those,
Well, yeah, I was going to say, Tony, on the sleeve notes, there's one line that I read the other day that said you'd spent so long playing the latest technologically sort of advanced keyboards and trying to imitate everything from a singing chicken to a Tibetan kazoo band that you'd lost the musical plot for a while.
Well, some people would say that I still have.
I love that line. Well, I mean, was your life on the road when you were with, and people will know obviously that you were with Technics and stacks of other companies, but was that frustratingly restrictive as a musician? Do I kind of read between those lines? No,
not at all. I mean, the Hammond thing was, you know, in a little box all of its own.
Right.
Oh, no. I mean, waiting for the new product and the new samples to come out and trying to find pieces to play that would do it some kind of justice, and maybe looking at kinds of music that I say this with great respect for everybody, I was trying to find a way of doing it that other people weren't, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the Dave Grusin thing came from, and the Garden Party stuff, and the Dave Brubeck stuff.
Yeah.
I just remember other people weren't really doing that. And of course, the instruments were so exciting.
Yeah.
And because they became, the samples became better and better. And I'm sure if you talk to, you know, people like Jim Madden and Phil Leader and Andy Smith and, you know, all of these James Sargent. If you talk to these people, it made you play better.
Yeah.
You did more research into how instruments worked and why they worked and why these instruments needed to be played like this. And it taught me how to write for strings and brass. I discovered exactly how Glenn Miller worked and the David Rose string sound. And that kind of education you wouldn't really get if you were, you know, if you were at university or something studying music and arranging. And because you had all of those sounds laid out for you and they became so accurate, you had to do them justice.
Yeah.
You couldn't just sit back and, you know, and play, you know, like an organ player, if that's not disrespectful to organ players. That's a different skill.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so I am unbelievably grateful for the opportunities that I have to say, from the Thomas days,
yes,
and Larry working with Jerry and Harry and Dave Smith was an absolute monster player.
Absolutely.
I remember doing a Frankfurt trade fair with him when Lowry introduced their latest version of the Lowry Holiday. And I created this. And bear in mind, at Frankfurt, we had a little theatre, and it was a turnaround theatre in as much as there were two stages, one at either end.
Yeah.
And Dave would do a show at one end, and I'd do a show at the other end. And I was doing my little show, and the finale was this medley of holiday songs. So things, holiday for strings and trumpeters, Bugler's Holiday or whatever, and all that kind of stuff. Dave Smith has perfect pitch. And over the course of the week, he had written down this entire arrangement. And as I played it at one end, he decided to play it just a fraction behind me at the other end. And I thought, well, this must be what it's like playing a theatre organ, where you play it and you hear it half an hour later. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. We laughed. But he recovered quite quickly. He healed well. So you know, listen to me yabbering on. I mean, if there was Olympics for talking, I mean, I'd win. I am unbelievably grateful for the orchestral opportunities that these products allowed, and it taught me so much about music and things that I've been able to carry over. You know, when I left in, I think it was 1996, I started a little software writing company.
Yes.
And mainly doing stuff for techno. The lovely and sadly missed Tony Smith,
yes,
who sadly passed away a couple of years ago. And he was amazing, and because he gave me work,
yes,
which was I was doing a sort of a masterclassy thing with some older students a little while back about just taking the opportunities that life gives you, and that one day I was traveling around the world doing all of this stuff and being a starlet. The next day, because I didn't have any work, I was wandering around my local town, having printed off some leaflets and putting them through people's doors to see whether or not they wanted some piano lessons. But then, you know, I couldn't do that without the skills and the ethos that working for a manufacturer would give you. I'll tell you another guy as well who I have utmost respect for, and I think he was on your show a while back, and it was John Paul Gard.
Yes.
And I remember John Paul when he was a snotty little herbert.
Sorry, John Paul, if you're listening.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I tidied that up quite a lot. I knew then that he would turn out to be something very good because he wanted to do the work. It wasn't that he just wanted to play. He wanted to do the work involved in learning and learning how things work, and will present stuff to people he considered his peers. And, you know, I'm sure you have lots of young listeners to your program. Do it right, and do it right the first time.
Yeah.
And if you hear things that are not right, stop and put them right, because it will reward you later. Here endeth today's lesson.
So, I mean, listen, Tony, I mean, you've revealed your age. You've said that, you know, you've done sort of masterclasses and you're passing on all the knowledge and expertise and wisdom, dare I say, that's been accrued over a lifetime in music.
Well, wisdom, I think, is taking it
is that, is
far.
That too far? All right,
I think that's a bit far.
So, I mean, you've been doing some writing and work with the London College of Music. Am I right on that?
Yes. Yeah.
How did that come about?
Do you remember Janet Dowsett?
I certainly do. Janet Barkus, bless her, as she is.
Janet Barkus, yeah. As is now, yeah. Said, because she became an examiner for London College, and she said the keyboard side of London College could do with somebody who had my kind of knowledge, which is very nice. And so I had a letter from the chief examiner saying, would I like to do that? And so I became an examiner for London College, which is the biggest thrill. Now, here's an interesting thing. Remember I was talking to you just a minute ago about learning about instruments and orchestration and how they work and how they don't work and the things that you should do when you write for them and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. When I became an examiner for London College, of course, I was examining all manner of instruments. Piano, guitar, violin, flute, trombone, Ukrainian nose flute, left-handed banjo, anything that you can think. Pedal harp. I mean, that's a monstrous instrument. So I still had to do some work. But what I had learned through being an imitator,
yes,
absolutely paid dividends. And although I'm not a clarinetist or a violinist, I'd like to think that I know enough about how you do it. You know, that's not a bit like being a eunuch, isn't it? I've seen it done. I know how to do it, but I can't do it myself.
Oh, well, shall I leave that in or shall I edit?
Oh,
that?
No, yeah. No, leave that in, and hey, then people at least will know that it's me.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
I'm talking now because because with your examiner's hat on, okay, not many people will realise that you're a composer as well. For instance, Tony, I've got a section here of your Silhouette Waltz.
Oh.
Yeah, now I've practiced it. Would you like to hear it?
Because
I want you to give me a grade, Mr. Examiner. Okay. So here we go. Just a little bit of it. Here we go. Here we go. Right. And that's where the YouTube screenshot of the manuscript ends, and I'm too mean to go out and buy the score.
I thought that was admirable, and I think that you should definitely
I've switched it off now, and I'm pulling the lid down. There we go. That's the end of that. Right.
You know, now here's a thing. I think anybody that plays a bit on any instrument knows how hard it is to string a few notes together in
absolutely.
The right order. And so I have admiration for anybody that will at least try. And it doesn't matter about how good or not it is. It's about what you get out of it. Yeah. It's not about, you're not playing that for somebody else's benefit. And that's very different to, going to watch professional musicians. They have prepared whatever it is they're going to play with an audience in mind, because that's how they're going to, pay their mortgage. When you're playing purely for yourself, you have none of those constraints. And it doesn't matter if you play a few wrong notes. It doesn't matter if the timing is a bit rubbish. What matters is that somewhere inside you, you are musically satisfied. And the thing with that is that the things that you play today that you think sound okay might not sound quite so okay tomorrow. Mm. And so you change them and you improve and you build. But you're always trying to make sure that it's you that is satisfied first. If anybody else wants to join in your journey and have a listen, then fine. Ian, I know that was you playing.
Yes, it was. Yes.
Excuse me. I know that was you playing. And
What? Because you counted the mistakes. Is that it?
The work that goes into playing just those few bars is quite phenomenal when you think about it. And for those people who are fairly proficient, remember back to the days when you weren't so good, and yep, how much you struggled, and how much you had to work on coordination of left and right hand, let alone left hand, right hand, and foot or feet. You know, when you think back to instruments like the G7, right? So you had two keyboards, you had a pedal board, you had a swell pedal with a kick switch on both sides.
Yeah, yeah.
If I remember rightly, and a knee lever.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, trying to walk after you've done a gig on that.
I seem to remember you actually used your nose as well in some part. I do remember that.
Sorry, that all that sounded a bit like a lecture, and I didn't mean it to.
It's valuable advice, because as you say, Tony, we're in a different world now, and I think people people who want to learn music, irrespective of age, are sort of getting almost back to basics. I mean, I got rid of my organ a good few years ago.
I'd heard, and I'm still amazed that your voice is so low.
Well, Tony.
the one thing that experience has taught me is always to be ready when Mr. Pegler throws in a line like that. So what else are you doing these days, Tony? That because I'm conscious of the time in terms of your sort of music, you know, and LCM's taking up a chunk of your time.
And particularly over the last 2 years, Andy Smith, lovely Andy Smith, wonderful musician, and I have just written the new keyboard syllabus for the London College, which is coming out. So that was a lot of writing work and a lot of editing stuff. So that's great. That's what I'm doing with LCM. I haven't done any exams since the lockdown, but I'm going to do some exams, I hope, at the end of the year. So that'll be fun. I've got involved in the last 2 or 3 years with a very prolific and quite famous playwright who writes plays with music.
Ooh.
And they're not exactly what you would call musicals.
Right.
Although, having said that, we did a show last year called Lady of Jazz.
Hmm.
And that was the story of the daughter of a black father and a white mother growing up in the southern states of America. And the music was very influenced by Bessie Smith. And that was a really great story about basically about racial prejudice and all that stuff.
Yes.
But it had a happy conclusion. And the music was great. And I play piano for that, so I did quite a lot of practice on sort of stride piano.
Yeah.
And we're just working. In fact, I've got a rehearsal this afternoon for a new show that's also going to go on tour called The Unquiet Grave. And my dear lady wife, I use the word dear in the monetary sense, not just as a term of endearment, is also one of the actors, along with a lovely actress called Michaela Beniston, who did Lady of Jazz. So that's going to do a tour, and that's based on Suffolk folk songs, and it's a bit of a ghost story. And that's really great. And I'm using my old KN 7000 which is really great, which I have had for 20 years.
No, you can. You all these keyboards. You just think they were yesterday, but in reality, time goes on.
I couldn't believe it. And you know, it's never given me one problem.
Let's touch wood. Hang on.
Until Wednesday, and one of the notes in the middle of the keyboard decided it didn't want to work.
Oh,
and it was just pure coincidence that David Polgate, the electronics engineer from lives down in Brighton, was coming to the next village along from me on the very next day.
Oh,
and
he turned up
yesterday and he stripped this thing down and me and he and he and we got Henry out, and we were both blown to bits. And it was great. And so my keyboard is all ready and tickety-boo, ready for the next 2 weeks rehearsal. So that's my
do you know,
my line.
It's so good, and I know listeners will be positively interested. to know that A, what? You're still alive, and B, you're still keeping as busy as ever, Tony. Which is
very busy.
It is seriously wonderful. Yeah,
and I will always be eternally grateful for the opportunities that the organ and keyboard world gave me and is still giving me, and all of those great players that are out there at the moment. You know, I watched on YouTube a demo. It wasn't really a demo; it was a mini concert of the Yamaha. What's the big Yamaha? The I can't remember what it's called now. Genos.
Oh, Genos. Was that deliberate?
No, it wasn't. It's just senility.
Was that as deliberate as me turning up to Panasonic one day with a Yamaha bag in my hand? Yeah.
I remember that. We stuck pins in your eyes.
You did. Yes.
This mini concert was by Peter Bartman. You cannot get better musicianship. James Sargent bends these instruments into doing things that they were never designed to do. And that's what I learned from a guy called Jack Malmsden the first time I went for Thomas in America. And he was showing me all of these tricks about how to make this instrument into a different instrument. And I've never forgotten that. And when I see these guys now really making these products work by using every little bit that's on there, I'm thinking, oh, that's just fantastic.
You know, it's wonderful to chat with you. Thank you ever so much for this quick catch-up.
Well, I wish I could reciprocate.
All I've got to do now is edit our half-hour conversation down into about 2.5 minutes. No, that's not true. No, this will be on our podcast version, so people will hear it, warts and all, as they say.
What are you saying? I was always at the back of the queue for good looks, but you know, I was never warty.
Bum.
I think that was a bit. That was a bit.
Cutting.
A bit unfair. Yeah. Cutting. That's the one. Ian, it is absolutely lovely to talk to you. And I know. Now here's the thing. I know we spoke a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't spoken for. We reckoned it was about 20 years, and you know, it was just. It really was, and I genuinely mean this, it was just like we'd spoken yesterday. And you know what a bloody rotten day yesterday was?
Tony Pegler, thank you very much for joining me on Community Keyboards.
It was just a pleasure, and it really was just like we'd spoken yesterday. So our friendship never stopped. Bless you.
Take care, my good friend, and we will catch up before too long again.
Well, I hope so. You take care, my friend.
Thanks, Tony. All the best now. Bye now.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Like Someone in Love, Tony Pegler, still one of my all-time favourite keyboard tracks, but don't tell him that. And that's all we have time for on this programme. Don't forget you can listen again to anything you might have missed by going to the oldhamcommunityradio.com player or catch up via the programme's podcast at anchor.fm/communitykeyboards, also available via your usual podcast provider. And to keep up to date with news and information in between programmes, do head over to our Facebook page or the programme website, communitykeyboards.simplesite.com. For the moment, this is Ian Wolstenholm saying thanks very much for listening. Take care, all the best, and bye-bye.